T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
I thought the intent of what we were trying to get done was exactly what it needed to be. And then there's some things, obviously, that we're going to learn from. Look, we're all human. I'm human, as we saw. I'm human. I'll make mistakes just like those guys. The key is, hey, how do we learn from those mistakes? How do we move on and make sure that we continue to progress and grow as a team?
That is Bills offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey from earlier in the week. The subject of What are we calling it now? A blow up? A freak out? A destruction of property?
It's a good question.
Do we know why he did it, by the way? Is it just that the game ended that way, or was he mad at McKenzie? I'm not sure he got asked.
That's a good question. Probably all of it. He was asked. His answer was basically that he was mad that the players that he knew worked that hard weren't going to win. Basically, he's mad.
That's a long way to say they lost. That's right. So it's just the game ending, I think, is probably the right answer to that.
I think McKenzie on that play, the general consensus is he was not going to make it out of bounds. So
yeah,
he fought for the 2 to 3 yards to try and get that field goal to be a little more possible because it was like 62 or something. You know, it was going to be deep. So
yeah,
a good way to put it, a guy who wants to be here.
Yes. Let's Jody Biasi, Jeremy White. Let's go out now to the Wester Hotline, joined by Scott Pianowski, one of our favorites every week, Yahoo Fantasy Football. Scott, how's your Thursday going?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Looking forward to Cincinnati and Miami tonight. And look, when you outgain somebody 497-212, you're supposed to win. I'm still trying to figure out how that result went, but that's football, right? I mean, so you can outplay a team and you don't get the points that you're supposed to have. You run 90 plays, the other guys run 39. I mean, I'm sure you guys have been talking about this all week.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the fantasy version of that is you can like outscore everybody in your league but the one team you're playing, right? And then you end up with a loss. And it just goes down as a loss. Nobody knows what went into it, and you know, you are what you are. But there's still some results don't feel particularly fair, and that was one of them.
I'm sure Jeremy's about to tell you about a league where aren't you second in a league in points, but you're 0-2 or 1-2
or
something?
Yeah, I was one CD Lamb catch away from being the highest scoring team and being 0-3, but thankfully the Cowboys locked that thing away and didn't throw it to Lamb one more time. Scott, as we're talking about that Dorsey blow up, how did you take that? I mean, I think one of the things that is said a lot is that that might happen more often than we know. It's just that it's not caught on camera, and this is one that they maybe caught.
Yeah, it's an emotional game, and a lot of frustrating things happen in football, and little things can get you beat. And I'm also wondering in the back of their minds, maybe they thought that, and this is such a long-term goal, but maybe they thought this could be an undefeated season, and it's just surprising that you would lose on a day when you dominate the game as much. I'm really curious to see how Miami comes back from that game. Short turnaround on the road, and then they're actually, 4-point underdogs, I think, against Cincinnati. And if I had to, I'd pick every game. I'm not going to play anything on this game, but I think Cincinnati's the right side of it. Curious if they've fixed their offensive line problems. They had 13 sacks the first two games. They think they only had a couple last week, although it was against the Jets, so it's hard to tell what that really means. But new uniforms, as the update said. I think Jamar Chase, I could already see him in the end zone with that white helmet, so... I like the Bengals tonight, and curious what Miami's turnaround is.
There are a couple things about Miami here. We're of course dealing with the loss, And then there's the division, the Dolphins, how much closer are they to the Bills than they have been. The Bills have beaten this team by like 30 points all the time. So,
yep.
You know, the game might have been a bit fluky based on a number of conditions. How much of what Miami is doing offensively do you see as sustainable? Because from a efficiency standpoint, they're doing great. Waddle and Hill are number 1 and 2 in the league in yards per route run in terms of efficiency. Like they're getting the job done on offense. Can they stay at the top?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I see some power ratings have them ranked number one. It's like, wait a minute. I mean, they played very well at the end of the Baltimore game. And last week was the total fluke. They did outplay New England the first week, but they only had about 307, 310 yards of offense in that game. It wasn't like they blew the Patriots off the field. Just New England couldn't do anything on offense either. And obviously they're not going to do anything on offense for a while with Mac Jones probably out. But it's a work in progress. I'm still not sure how good Tua is. The Dolphins have struggled to run the ball. They've tried a couple of different things. Chase Edmonds was the bigger of the two investments they made in their backfield, but he's sharing time with Raheem Mostert. It was Edmonds who got the touchdowns, which is important for fantasy, but neither one of them was effective last week. They're still trying to figure out who they are. And I think as great as Hill is and as great as Waddle is, I think this offense needs a third pitch, right? The thing in baseball is like if you don't have a third pitch, you end up in the bullpen because you need three pitches to be a starter. I think Miami needs a third pitch, whether it's Gesicki, whether it's Edmonds. They need something consistent. We know Tua is not one of the quarterbacks who runs all that much. I think if they're going to be a legitimate threat, they're probably going to be a playoff team, but if they're really going to be somebody you have to take seriously, as wonderful as Hill and Waddle are, they need something else to threaten defenses.
Scott, I was wondering about, like, is that third pitch the backfield? Because so far, you really can't play either Chase Edmonds or Raheem Mostert, and they have split the workload almost completely even. 24 carries for Mostert, 23 for Edmonds, 4 receptions for Mostert, 6 for Edmonds. And isn't that kind of the only thing to figure out on who to start for tonight's game? Because you're starting Chase, starting Higgins, probably starting Burrow if you drafted him, and obviously Hill and Waddle are in, Mixon's in, but like who's on the fence? Isn't it the Dolphins' backfields and whether or not you can trust them in lineups?
That's exactly what it is, and I would probably lean towards not starting them. And if you had to start one, I guess you'd have to give it to Edmonds. It's interesting because he's never had the profile of somebody we think of getting goal line work, but he punched in those 2 short touchdowns. I mean, both of these backs are just a little bit over 200 pounds. They don't really have the classic 5'10", 220-pound back. And speaking of running backs, I also mentioned that you know I was more of a Devin Singletary believer than a lot of people. And after 2 weeks, I thought, okay, you know, after the Bills threw 21 straight passes in a row on that Monday game, I thought, okay, what am I doing with Singletary here? I can't play him. And then he had one of his better games of the year. It's so hard to anticipate game flow sometimes or who's going to have the ball for 40 minutes, you know, winning a game or something like that, or that Singletary would be that active as a receiver. I still think Buffalo needs to run the ball a little bit more proactively, but you hit tonight's game on the head. I mean, Mixon's going to start himself, all those Cincinnati receivers. You're going to start the Miami receivers. You're probably not going to start Tua, and maybe, I guess you could play Edmonds if you had to. I hope that you don't have to, though.
Scott Pianowski from Yahoo on the Wester Hotline. Let's talk about the Bills a little bit here. Singletary, as you mentioned, it was a great fantasy performance, and it was kind of a weird one for him in that all of it was receiving. He only had 9 carries for 13 yards on the ground. What about the Bills outside of Diggs and Allen right now? Like, I guess, what are you doing week to week? Are we getting to a point where you can't trust Gabe Davis? I know he's not 100% on that ankle. Singletary, you just talked about. Knox? We talked about Knox in the last segment, Scott. The big contract, and now that there's expectations attached, and it's 9 catches through 3 games and no touchdowns. What are you doing with the Bills offense outside of the obvious ones in Allen and Diggs?
Yeah, I think a healthy or a mostly healthy Davis is somebody that fantasy managers are going to play. And he did show up in the first game. I got to give him the benefit of the doubt. Knox fits a different theme, which is that at tight end, if you drafted Kelce, you feel fine. If you drafted Mark Andrews, you're on top of the world. And he and Lamar Jackson are by far the most commonly owned players, or I should say rostered players, on the top Yahoo's top 500 teams. I think 67% of those teams have Lamar Jackson, and like 48% of those teams have Mark Andrews. A lot of them probably have the same, both those guys. But tight end has been, Andrews has been great. Kelce's been okay. And then you're looking at Maybe you picked up Ty Conklin. Maybe you're doing okay with Dallas Goedert or Zach Ertz or something like that. But there's a huge drop-off. And there's a lot of guys that people might even have gone to draft season and said, okay, I got Dawson Knox. I'm fine with that. I got Cole Kmet. I'm pretty high on him. Albert O could be a breakout guy in Buffalo. The Chiefs tight ends have been a total bust. It's just so hard to find anybody who's doing a thing. And I don't really know how you change that. In the case of like Kmet, it's easy. They don't throw the ball enough, you drop them. In the case of like Albert O, it's easy. This Denver's had so much trouble lifting off that offense that, a lot of people dropped Albert O this week, and that's totally fine. The thing with Knox is we still want the exposure to Allen, and we know that he had a great touchdown year last year, and he played through a hand injury and everything, and he's never going to be the top target in this offense or the second target in this offense. We know that. I still think the end of the season he should have 7 or 8 touchdowns. I have to give him at least another week or two before I think about cutting him. But tight end's been a mess this year. And again, unless your opponents have like 2 or 3 different guys, they're probably struggling just like you are.
Scott Pianowski on the Wester Hotline. Scott, as we talked about all the rookies this year, and maybe it goes this way every year that there are newcomers that people fall in love with, and I feel like not a lot of it has played out. The early rookie sensations, Drake London and Chris Olave, like these two guys maybe should have been the whether it's Occam's razor or whatever, like keep it simple. These two as the top two receivers as rookies so far, they're the guys that went up too, maybe outside of Garrett Wilson. But Drake London, this is a point about pedigree over situation, right? Like take the most talented player because that player will likely find a way.
Atlanta's offense has been kind of sneaky fun for fantasy. Patterson's been really good. They're seeing a lot of nickel. They see a lot of light boxes. They've been running Patterson. He's averaging over 6 yards a carry. London's been good every week. Mariota's been decent. I think they've scored 26 points or more in every game. The one thing that always frustrates everybody about Atlanta is that we always feel like Kyle Pitts should be destroying the league, and he did nothing for his first two games. And then they asked Arthur Smith about it. They go, I'm trying to win real football games. This isn't fantasy football. And it's like, well, actually, if you look at every game that they've had Kyle Pitts over 80 yards, I think they're 4-0. So maybe there's a correlation there. But Pitts looked great last week. And, Garrett Wilson's interesting because they're going to get Zach Wilson back. Flacco set a record for most passes in the first three games of an NFL season. I mean, the Jets have just get kind of screwy stats right now. You look at their skill talent. I mean, we all like Elijah Moore coming in, and the backs are interesting. They've been using Brees Hall a lot as a receiver. Michael Carter's not a bad player, but I think Hall is better. I'm just curious, if Zach Wilson can keep from throwing up all over himself, there's a lot of talent in that team. And I'm looking at Treylon Burks. I know he hasn't done much, and he's probably been dropped in a lot of leagues. If you have room to wait on Burks, and not everybody will, you have to play to your situation. I think he's going to be one of those slower developing. He's like a Polaroid. He's not an instant photo. He's a Polaroid. I think he might be something in the second half of the year. I like his size. I like his speed. He does get open. He had a really bad drop last week, but I still think he could be something. And when it was encouraging to see Damian Pierce after the first week, I don't know why they were using Rex Burkhead so much, but he was effective against Denver. Had a good game against Chicago. More of it was in the first half, and he lost the fumble in the second half. I've been disappointed in Davis Mills' play, but Damian Pierce has established himself as an every week kind of set it and forget it running back too. The rookie class, I've been playing fantasy long enough. It used to be the rookie you laughed. The guy who took rookie receivers in your league, you'd go, get that guy's entry fee up front. He doesn't know what he's doing. But it changed in 2014 with a great receiver class. And for the last decade or so, it seems like a few of these guys hit right away. And this looks like a very good class for 22.
One of the stories of my fantasy season, Scott, has been that I bought in on DJ Moore pretty much everywhere. And I'm bringing him up because I saw you wrote about him either yesterday or today. And it made sense, right? Like, he's been so good, and he's had nothing at quarterback, rotating door, and Baker Mayfield's not great, but isn't he better than what he's had? And through three games, that is just not happening.
Yeah, you said that perfectly, and that's exactly what I was... That's the sale, the pitch I was giving before the season. He's done it with bad quarterbacks. Now, Mayfield was hurt last year. Now it was his non-throwing shoulder. So it's like, it's not like it was the actual wing that he throws with, but maybe he joined the team late. Maybe I didn't properly factor in that Ben McAdoo is in charge of this offense. I mean, you know, Matt Rhule's the guy. He's on the hot seat right now. But McAdoo, who we last saw, you know, driving the Giants into a ditch, is now driving this offense into a ditch. McCaffrey's been okay, but not really unleashed in the passing game. They had that one long completion to Robbie Anderson. I think it was the first game of the season. But he's generally been a disappointment. The hope here is that, look, the under is killing in the NFL right now. And there's a lot of offenses. Denver looks terrible. The Niners, the Denver Niners game, I mean, it felt like a 3-3 game. I think the final was, what, 15-12 or something like that. But it felt like nobody could score. You know, and I was mad that Denver didn't try to pass the ball on third down the last time they had it. But then when they punted and San Francisco had a horrible possession to end the game, I thought, well, maybe they knew what they were doing. But I'm hoping, because teams have pulled back so much on preseason and they don't want to hit, they don't want to play guys in the exhibition games, that maybe some of these quarterbacks in new play. I mean, I had high hopes for Wilson. I thought he was a top 10 quarterback for sure. I thought maybe it was go time for some of their receivers, although Sutton's actually been pretty good. He just doesn't have the touchdowns. And maybe Javonte Williams will eventually become the guy there. This week, all I can tell you, and I know it's not satisfying, you cannot drop more. You don't want to sell him at a nadir value. I think you just have to bench him for a week if you have that luxury. Some people might have to play him anyway and just trust that he's always done it in the past and wait till he has a big blow-up game on your bench. It'll be frustrating, and then you can start him again, or maybe you can trade him. But, yeah, Joe, you said that perfectly. I mean, the dots all seem to connect, and right now he's been one of the most frustrating players in fantasy and certainly one of the mistakes that I regret most.
I wonder if, you know, I don't know why this got me thinking about Cole Kmet as a guy that I thought might do something but is worth dropping. In that case, it's because are the Bears about to be the least owned fantasy team in the history of fantasy football?
It's funny you say that, because I do power rankings for the teams by fantasy value every month. I'm going to refresh them next week. And Chicago right now, you can play whoever the running back is. Montgomery was playable. And man, didn't Herbert look really good in relief last week? I also wish they'd wear those helmets more often. I think that's a good look for the team, but you can't play anybody in this pass. I thought Darnell Mooney was probably within the top 30 receivers to start the year. I thought Kmet was certainly a top 12 tight end. Drafted those guys. I mean, it's not like I went after them like with reckless abandon, but I had shares of both of those guys, and I traded one of my Mooney shares. Kmet's just been a drop, although tight end has been awful. Again, you know, I'm happy to have Ty Conklin in a couple of leagues, which tells you everything you need to know about that. But they don't want to throw the ball, the Bears, and they're 2-1, and it's a new coaching staff, and they're probably thinking, okay, you know, we can cobble together 7 or 8 wins. We're doing well. And what are they doing? They're not developing their quarterback. They did not draft to support their quarterback. I mean, at least the Jets went out and supported Wilson. The Jaguars went out. Everybody laughed and said, oh, Christian Kirk and Zay Jones, oh, those crazy contracts. I mean, Kirk and Jones are playing pretty well right now, and that's a fun team. They beat the snot out of the Chargers. You would think the Jaguars were the team that was the AFC contender, not the Chargers, the way that game played out. And man, I like to burn everything I wrote about the Chargers. I think I had them going really deep, and it doesn't look like they're going to. They're also crazy to leave Herbert in when he was hurt last week, but the Bears, there's no there. They're like one of the 3 or 4 worst teams. They might be the worst team in fantasy right now, because we thought, okay, well, Fields will run, right? I mean, maybe he'll have some value. And Mooney's going to have the target share. And Kmet doesn't have to deal with Jimmy Graham anymore. This goes to show you can build a really strong fantasy case. You can put together a narrative that makes sense. And then they play the games, and you wind up thinking, man, I feel so wrong about this stuff. And again, as Joe mentioned, I did write about some of the things I was wrong about. The good news is this. One, October is always easier than September, as we have data to work with, and buys come in, injuries come in, and you'll give your opponents who aren't good players more chances to make mistakes. A lot of times I've ended September been like, oh, man, well, I'm just having such a mediocre season. And at the end of October, I'm like, wow, that went really well. You just stick with it, stay the course. You know, the bye weeks are good because they will actually incentivize people to trade. Nobody wants to trade in September. Everybody thinks they drafted a great team. Now people start panicking and people start making mistakes, and this is where good managers can make up some ground. And I'll be honest with you, there are some leagues where I need to make up some ground.
The amazing stat real quick on Mooney, by the way, as we were talking about the Bears, he has 4 catches on the season. He's 23rd in the NFL in target share percentage.
Right.
Like, he's still getting a quarter of his team targets. There's just no targets.
The problem is it's such a tiny pie, right? I mean, everybody's eating like a Thanksgiving Day pie, and you're eating one of those Hostess pies.
It's got a question
there to divvy up.
A question on defense, and I don't mean, you know, streaming defenses, but as you were talking about the Jaguars there, I'm reading and watching breakdowns of what the Jags are able to do. They got two rookies in this draft that are really kind of, I mean, Trayvon Walker, and then there's a linebacker. I can't remember the name right now. But what I'm getting at is, what defenses are you avoiding? Like, if you've got a call to make between two players, are there any defenses, whether it's Jacksonville, Buffalo, when they're healthy, I mean, that might be different now, who are you avoiding if given a coin flip between two starting players?
The 49ers defense looks fantastic. And I'm trying, maybe it's because I just want to tell myself that Denver is going to figure it out, but they look outstanding. And also, I want to make note that people are wondering, you know, okay, Justin Jefferson was great week one, didn't do much week two, didn't do much against the Lions. Their young cornerback, Yakota, he's been really, really good. He shut out Devonta Smith opening day. A lot of people didn't notice that because everything else Philadelphia did worked, but it looks like maybe they have a guy you have to worry about. But the Niners are the one defense that really jumps out to me. And the problem with Buffalo, too, when you're up against Buffalo, is that you worry about they're going to control the game. It's hard to play a running back against the Bills because you're afraid they're going to be behind by so many points. I'm really excited to see that Baltimore-Buffalo game, by the way. And, man, J.K. Dobbins, I don't know when you can play him with any confidence. He was actually outplayed by Justice Hill last week, and Justice Hill became a deep league grab. There aren't that many defenses that move the needle for me, but right now the Niners, and I think they're going to right the ship this week against the Rams. I think they'll win on Monday night. I still think they're a playoff team. It's hard. Try to find seven teams you can put in the playoffs in the NFC. It's not easy right now. Tampa Bay might be in that group too. I know you're going to play probably most of your Chiefs. I've seen a lot of sell high on CEH talk this week. I don't know who you sell high to. I don't know who believes in it. Seven carries for 0 yards. He's getting just as many snaps as Jerick McKinnon. I think that's a revolving door. My colleague Michael Salfino thinks maybe Ronald Jones in a deeper league could be somebody to stash. He hasn't even been dressing on game day, but maybe eventually he gets into the mix. I do like the Tampa Bay defense as well. That's the reason why they have a winning record, because their offense hasn't done much right through 3 weeks.
I got a zero RB team where I've had Isaiah Pacheco, and I think I'm calling it quits on that.
I thought I saw some good stuff. Like, maybe it's time to hold that stock.
Do you agree with that, Scott? Because I'm not looking at him. I'm just looking at the numbers, and he's not playing a lot. But
I just don't think CEH is anything more than a Jag, as we say, just a guy. So they're going to probably try different things. And man, none of their receivers are really popping either. Juju's been okay in a PPR, but he doesn't really have a touchdown profile. Sky Moore's been making mistakes. He can't get on the field. I think they're kind of giving up on Hardman ever being anything special. And MVS is just one of those, run deep, clear out for other guys. When's the last time the Chiefs offense looked this pedestrian? Mahomes is still terrific. Andy Reid's schemes are great. Kelsey's wonderful. And then they have a whole bunch of, if you're playing against Juju, you're afraid. You're playing against any of the running backs. Does that scare you? It doesn't scare me.
Yeah. Maybe we should toss that around when we come back on the Chiefs and what's going on there. Thanks again, Scott. As always, we'll talk next Thursday, and enjoy the game tonight.
All right, guys. Great to talk to you.
Thanks. Scott Pianowski on the Wester Hotline. Yeah, we have not really talked about the Chiefs at all this week, have we?
No.
And they lost to the Colts. If the Bills pull that game out in Miami, I think a part of the story is they figured it out. Oh, and Kansas City lost, by the way.
Yeah.
But because the Bills also lost, I feel like we just kind of want to. It feels like this is why, maybe. If you give any credence to the Chiefs being in trouble because they lost to the Colts, it feels like you have to do the same thing with the Bills.
Yep. That's right. One thing on this Bills-Ravens game that you want to make it important, here you go. Common games, Joe. The best the Bills can do against the Dolphins head-to-head is a split. How about division record? Is Miami going to sweep New England and sweep the Jets? Maybe.
Yep.
The third tiebreaker is common games. If you lose to Baltimore, you lose that.
That's minus
one.
They already
beat Baltimore. Now, if Miami loses tonight to Cincinnati, that's one that you can get back. But when you lose one game, you are immediately going to division tiebreaker, and then the next after that, if it's just a two-horse race, is common games. So every time the Dolphins play somebody the Bills play, it's going to matter. That is the tiebreaker it is very much most likely to come down to, unless one of these teams loses to the Patriots or the Jets.
And, I guess the Patriots could steal one from somebody, including Miami, but yeah.
Not going to steal one from the Bills, though, right?
No way. Zero.
And the Jets are not going to steal one from either of these teams. One thing about Zach Wilson being ready to go, the pressure has to be on him because Flacco's done enough to show there are weapons here.
Yep.
Right?
I wrote that down for something to bring up today. Like, when would they bench him? Because you have a coach that might be under pressure and might be thinking about his job security, and he has a quarterback in Flacco that has some baseline to where, okay, if I win 7 games with this guy, all right, that could help me. Whereas Wilson just flames out. Like, how long do they watch it go, I guess, if he just steps in and he just can't do anything? Because for me, everything about the Jets right now should be, what is Zach Wilson? And find an answer to that. But how many games before they think they know that answer? Because what are we at, 12 right now?
Yeah, not many at all.
It's not a lot.
I mean, Tua got a lot of time and still if Tua continues to have the efficiency he's having, he will be on the list of, hey, be patient. You got to be patient. Yeah. Not even Josh Allen, but even Tua will be. He was just okay, and then look what happened when they gave him weapons and they gave him an opportunity and they gave him an offensive line and a better coach. Like, he has vaulted to the top of the league in efficiency at this point.
Right. Yeah, he had 21 starts before coming into this year, and we didn't think he was.
Much.
Yeah. 803-0550 is the phone number. Love to take a call. Joe DiBiase, Jeremy White here on Howard and Jeremy. We've got the Extra Point Show coming up at 10 here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.